Let's catch up with Fevzi Turkout from Gadget Detective for the tech story of the week and also his gadget of the week. What three words would sum up your weekend, by the way, Fevzi?
Cake, exercise, cake.
Right. I mean, surely that... there's so much to say, isn't there? Presumably the amount of exercise corresponds to the amount of cake that you might have consumed. So where are we with the cake quota at the moment?
Well, the amount of exercise corresponds to how far I have to travel to get the next cake.
Right. So I see.
It's kind of a utilitarian exercise, really, yes.
No, it's not to counteract the calories that the cake puts into your body. It's to get the cake in the first place.
My smartwatch tells me that I am burning calories in the process.
Right.
Also says I'm sleeping rather well.
Okay. So how much cake have we got in storage at the moment, or do you need to go out and get some?
No, we're all right. We've got a lovely creamy carrot cake, but today's feast and breakfast feast, I should say, will be the very rich chocolate cake.
Right.
I'm rocking it old school with chocolate cake for breakfast.
There's always some sort of chocolate cake involved. I'm not going to put too fine a point on it. I'm worried that rickets is going to come and knock in at some point, Fevzi, to be honest, some sort of nutritional disease, because whenever we talk, you appear to only be consuming cake, and that's not a balanced diet, is it?
I don't know. As long as rickets brings cakes with him, he's very welcome. Yeah.
I'm not sure that's a feature of that Dickensian illness. But anyway, let's talk about the tech story of the week, first of all. And this is something which has gone on and on and on. And every day there seems to be a new twist to the tale. We are, of course, talking about Twitter, aren't we?
I know. And, you know, I tried so hard not to cover this. I was tempted to go about with the food story about how lab-created chicken meat is now legal to sell in America. Mm. But I just thought that this would touch the lives of more people, at least in the short term. So the machinations of Twitter continue. The hashtag RIPTwitter is continuing to trend overnight and today on Twitter. And there are worries in some quarters that Twitter could actually fall over. Yeah, it could actually die because Elon Musk made a fantastic situation even better by sending out a message to his remaining staff saying that he wanted the workplace to be hardcore and that people would have to work extremely long hours and very hard, very intensely. Mm. And that if they didn't want that, they didn't need to reply. Otherwise, they need to push a button in the email within a few hours. Yeah, I can only imagine. I know employment protection laws aren't that great in America compared to certainly the European Union. But really, you know, you have to think he's going to end up in so many court cases. There are already some ongoing.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be winning any awards for the best workplace based upon the strategy that he's exhibiting already, is he?
Yeah, he's trying to do what he did. You see, at Tesla, for example, I mean, he lived in the factory, literally. He would sleep in the middle of the factory and people would see that he was there all the time. And it was this sort of quite old-fashioned way of running a business. What do I know? I mean, the man's a multi-billionaire, so, you know, far be it for me to give him advice. But I just think that he's maybe just dealing with different types of staff here, professionals who are sought after, who have skills that are sought after, who can go elsewhere, even during this economic climate. You know, they can work for any company anywhere in the world from their bedroom, frankly, and where he's telling people they have to come into the office and work when it's not strictly necessary. You know, there's all that. So and Elon Musk obviously understands you know, the gravity of the situation, because he's tweeted a gravestone, a picture of a gravestone with a Twitter logo on it, and one of the mourners giving two fingers to the camera.
Right.
So, you know.
This is so weird, isn't it? But can you characterise? There's two questions that I have here. I mean, you said that, you know, there's a very real possibility that Twitter could fall over. And I'm guessing that's down to a couple of things. One, there are so many people now saying, well, you know, I'm coming off Twitter. I'm joining Mastodon. I don't really understand what that is. But anyway, they're coming off Twitter. First of all, why is that? I mean, What are the grievances here? Because Elon Musk has come in, he's took over, they don't agree with his ethos and they're worried about the kind of invigilation side of it and that sort of thing. Is that what the issue is here with that?
Yeah, so it's several things. First of all, his comments supposedly about free speech have led people to worry that he's going to allow people who, for example, were associated with insurrections on 6th of January to go back on Twitter. And he's already allowed some people back on who, aren't approved of by some people and think shouldn't be given a voice, because you know that even in the American Constitution, which enshrines free speech, there are limitations upon free speech, and you know, and also people need to be responsible for that. So there is that, and then there is the fact that he sacked so many of the staff, and so he sacked a lot of the staff that were doing the moderation. So you have to wonder how and to what extent that moderation is going to be done. Even if they haven't changed the moderation rules yet, you know, are there enough people? There aren't enough algorithms. A lot of this is done by hand. People have to, human beings have to look at this stuff. And are there enough people to do that? The other thing is that a lot of engineers and software engineers have gone. So who's protecting the servers from being hacked? Who's, you know, if there's a server outage, who's going to bring it back up again? You know, it could be, and also all of those employees, some of them could become bad actors as well, you know, so ex-employees, I should say. So it just seems like, and also he's locked the staff out of the building.
Yeah.
Till Monday. And it kind of, I think he's trying to work out who's still working for him.
You wouldn't believe it's such a huge organisation, would you? When you sum it up like this, he's locked the staff out of the building. It makes it sound like a corner shop, basically. But it's so much bigger than that. Listen, Fevzi Turkalp is with us, gadget detective. So we've talked about our tech story of the week, which is all about Twitter, understandably. Now it's time to move on to our gadget of the week, Fevzi. So what is it this time around?
Right, two gadgets. We're going to end with a piece of software which will be an audible treat for you and your
Excellent.
Ears.
Okay.
Okay. But first of all, we will do the Google Pixel Watch. So this is a smartwatch from Google. It's their first smartwatch, and it's long awaited because Google has made some of the best smartphones around with its Google Pixel smartphones. It does the little earbuds. It does all the home automation stuff that, you know, the smart speakers and all that. And this is a sort of important piece of the puzzle of you know, having the whole ecosystem. One of the things that's enabled them to make this watch, and is a good first showing, I would say, is because they bought out a company called Fitbit, who were very famous for their fitness tracking watches and devices. So they've bought them. And so you can think of all the Fitbit technology being in there, merged with all of Google's know-how. The watch itself is quite interesting. So this is called the Google Pixel Watch. This is the LTE version, which means it's got a cellular connection as well, like a mobile phone. So it doesn't require Wi-Fi to work. And given that there isn't much of a price difference between the two, I'd say that it's probably the one to go for, in my opinion. Stylistically, it's very interesting watch this, because where you look at an Apple Watch, which is essentially like a lozenge rectangular shape fat screen on your wrist, it looks like a little fat iPad on your wrist, right? This one is, well, first of all, it's round and it's curved top and bottom, so it's like pebble like it's very, very high quality, but it's got this sort of pebble like feel to it, but very, very nice. And the glass is curved, so you would normally have to be quite careful not to scratch it, because it's not a flat surface on the glass. But they have used something called Gorilla Glass 5, which is quite tough. But, you know, if you were going mountaineering, you might need to be careful. But otherwise, hopefully, it will survive. I said it's got all the Fitbit stuff inside it, so it will do tracking of your exercises, your steps and your calories. Yeah. It will track your sleep, not just when you're asleep, but what sort of sleep you're in. Are you in deep sleep, light sleep or REM sleep? Only deep sleep and REM sleep are restorative. So some people, for example, they might have an illness like sleep apnea, where they stop breathing and they don't know it if they sleep alone, and they're constantly being brought up into light sleep to restart their breathing. So this will tell you what sort of sleep you're having and can give you a clue if you've got any sort of problems. It's got an SOS emergency function as well, which is rather good. All the Google apps that you would hope to see. So Google Assistant, so you can speak to your watch and get answers. Google Wallet, so it's got a near field communication device in it, so you can tap your watch and pay for things using Google Wallet. If you're using Apple Maps, you can get turn by turn instructions on your watch as well, which is again nice when you're driving, because you know it not only speaks it, but you can just see it on your wrist very easily. Mm. And also things like Gmail and Google Calendar, so that's all well integrated. In terms of your home automation, if you've got home automation set up, then you can control your lights and thermostats from your wristwatch. You can connect to your Pixel phone or your Pixel earbuds, so it will pair to those kind of nicely as well. So rather in the way that Apple has built its ecosystem, I think Google is doing much the same thing. It's doing it quite well, you know, right. each of their relative strengths. You get 6 months of Fitbit Premium included, so if you want to do sort of exclusive workouts, mindfulness sessions, that sort of thing, it's again, you know, quite a good thing. Choice of straps. One of the things I liked is you get actually two sizes of strap in the box with it. Straps are not cheap. They're rather the same sort of price as you pay for the Apple Bands as well, for the Apple Watch.
Okay.
So this is a sort of high-end quality product. List price for the LTE version, the cellular version, is £379. I looked on a well-known big retailer today, and mm-hmm. I found it as cheap as £335.
Okay.
The price varies a bit depending on which of the colours you choose, funnily enough. 4 stars out of 5. And if we have time, I shall share with you that I have a passion for electronic musical instruments.
Right.
I started out, well, when I was a teenager, I used to love these synthesizers. I used to go to a place called Denmark Street in London and play synthesizers that I could never afford and are now classics. I wish I could have afforded them because they're now worth about £50,000.
Wow.
And one of the problems with hardware synths is that they can, you know, the really sophisticated ones can be really expensive.
Yeah.
And take up a lot of space, which is, you know, not good if you have a passion for these things. But one of the things that I've noted in recent years is that software synthesizers, either running on desktop computers or iPads, have become a really big thing. And there is one that I love. Okay, it's called TB Flowtones. It's a virtual analog synthesizer. So analog synths are the ones that sound like the traditional synths of the okay. 70s and 80s, those
yeah.
big brassy things. And the version that runs on the iPad is $799, which is, you know, at that price, frankly, rude not to buy it. The desktop version is €49. And I'm going to give you a blast of it.
I knew this is where we were going to with this. I knew. I just had a feeling that this is where we were aiming.
Right.
Go on then.
Now, bear in mind, this is not wired into the desk. This is just me holding an iPad up to
the
microphone.
Okay? Yes.
So
yeah,
this
yeah.
is just a couple of the presets, okay? So what you're hearing there is a virtual analog synthesizer, and you hear it kind of sounds a little bit human. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
It's got a sort of voice. That's because it's got something called a Formant filter into it, so it actually can synthesize sort of human-type sounds. Here's another example of a sound. Now, look, there are hundreds
wow.
of presets in this thing. I mean, like me, having no musical talent, it doesn't
yeah.
matter. I can do this, and it's begging for a song to be written around.
Isn't it?
That.
Well, I very much look forward to the song that you create from your bedroom, Fevzy,
yeah.
accompanied by some cakes on weekends. Yeah, I mean, that's impressive. So $7.99 for the iPad version of that.
Yeah, $7.99, or you can get the desktop version for €49. And
yep.
the company's called Flowtones. It's it's not Flowtones. Let me get it right. Hold on. They are, the website is toneboosters.com.
Right.
Toneboosters.com. So you can check it out there or on the App Store. It runs on iPads. And the reason I chose that, because I have hundreds of these things, and I love them all in different ways, but this one, you heard it, right?
Yeah.
It's got something kind of special about it. And if you were to try and build that in hardware, I mean, you'd be talking like tens of thousands of pounds. And
yeah, it's impressive. It's an impressive
iPad.
Sound, admittedly. Fevzy, as ever, thank you. That's Fevzy Turkout from Gadget Detective back same time next week.